Mike, I've spent the first 20 minutes basically saying this is no big deal, right? Like, they're going to be good.
Yeah, that's what I heard, huh? All your fault. This is the stuff I have to deal with on Twitter. All your fault.
You do not blame others for the misery you bring upon your person on social media, Mike. I won't take it. I will not take that.
It's not the misery I bring along of whatever you just said, my person. I don't know. It is the fact that there are a lot of loud voices in the media who are full of lament and sorrow and hand-wringing and rending of garments and all of this stuff and so eager to declare
crisis. I think he's talking to you.
When I step on your foot, say, Mr. Black.
See, here's the truth. There's three games out with 40 games to play, and they're getting the best slugger in Major League Baseball back in their lineup right now. And you know,
do they have eight more of them?
Oh, that would be swell, wouldn't it?
If they get the wild card and Edwin comes back and even bats 260, Edwin's the MVP of the American League.
Because they erased a three-game deficit in 40 games? Like, when's the last time in a baseball season that a team hasn't erased a three-game deficit over the last 40
But it's
games?
It's now two teams you got to erase that on, Mike. Like, this is not just as blanket
it's,
as three
no,
games.
No, hold on a second.
It's two teams.
Yes.
Mike's right. But what you're saying is you're not talking about the three-game deficit. And allow me to speak for you, if I may. Three-game deficit is not what you're worried about or shouldn't be what you're worried about. You're worried about what you see on the field.
Right.
You're worried about the fact that you look out and see a team that's not playoff ready. And is that just the addition of Edwin Encarnacion and maybe but probably not Brett Laurie by the end of the season?
But you're also looking at a team that just beat a team that's in that wild card spot that's supposed to be.
Well, but they weren't in that. Hold on, Mike. They weren't in that wild card spot when that series began. The mentality of the Detroit series. Hold on. The mentality in the Detroit series, the mentality of what just happened, are not the same thing. Detroit slips out to a wild card while they're in Seattle.
Cy Young Award winners.
Listen, all I know is this:
was a first place team.
Detroit was a first place team when they went to Seattle. When they took on Detroit, they were a team they did not expect to really have to battle for a damn thing. You go to Seattle, you know full well you have to battle them for things. This is the best pitching team in baseball, and more than half the place has Jay fans in it.
Right.
And the laying of the egg. And I love Iwakuma. I love me some Felix Hernandez, and Chris Young's having a hell of a year.
Cy Young.
They're great pitchers. You make statements here, and I don't care whether how much you believe in that or not.
But it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist?
If you could make yourself play better at significant points in time in a season, then no team would ever not make the playoffs in any sport ever because they would all win every important game they needed to win because of this artificial raising of the game that one needs to do in an important spot. It just doesn't happen. And unfortunately, the Blue Jays ran into some incredible pitching. They didn't hit at all. They disappointed the heck out of the 50, 60, 70,000 Blue Jays fans who showed up over three games, and it sucked. But it really doesn't mean any more than that. They're three games out with 40 games to go. There's two teams that they have to. There are two teams that they have to leap over in the standings. But it's not hockey. It's not, you know, in hockey, this is almost impossible because in hockey, teams get points for losing. And in baseball, you don't. So it's a lot easier to do it. I mean, just take a look. Detroit lost 9 games in the standings over 3 weeks. While they were in the process of being crowned World Series winners because of the David Price deal.
Correct.
The San Francisco Giants were in first place with the best record in baseball at the end of May. They lost 10 games in the standings in 3 weeks. The Blue Jays lost 9.5 games in the standings in 5 weeks. These things happen all the time. All the time. Tampa Bay was 9.5 games out of a playoff spot on September 1st, 3 or 4 years ago, and they made the playoffs. We are not close to anything being over.
All right, so you agree
with
me.
This is the Blue Jays talk on Tim and Sid. It continues with Sid Sixero and Mike Miller.
All right, so Mike, what you're telling me is it's basically over.
Yes.
Obviously.
Right.
So
I don't know that any rational human can come to a conclusion.
I don't know. I'm here. Maybe it's my earphones today, Mike. Maybe it's my earphones. So, okay, let me pitch this to you. I think it's done. You obviously disagree, and I love you, and you're entitled to it. They're going to the south side of Chicago, which is a terrible place, for a couple of reasons, and I've been there. Right now, they're not a good team. They have the 28th pitching in Major League Baseball. There's 30 teams.
The last 12 games.
They're 28th in baseball. They have no pitching. Yes, I checked.
Chicago White Sox.
White Sox.
Oh, the White Sox.
Yeah, Chicago White Sox.
Oh, no. White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go against Hector Noesi and get two runs in seven innings and tip your cap to Hector Noesi.
And Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've seen conflicting reports on this. Chris Sale has been pushed from this series, correct? The Jays won't see him?
I don't know about that one. I will take your word for that.
I saw two sources.
There are rumors.
I saw two sites tell me Sale has been bumped from Sunday and one that still says he's there. So I'm a little confused. So
it would be swell if they don't have to face Chris.
It would be swell. If they don't beat the White Sox with that pitching, are you willing to say they're probably not ready for a postseason appearance? They're probably not ready to leapfrog two teams that are putting up better numbers than that? Look, what's it going to take for you to count them out? Because I'm there.
What's going to take for me to count them out is for them to get to a point in the race where it would be, where they would be facing a nearly insurmountable deficit. But look, their last 14 games of the season are exclusively against the Yankees, Orioles, and Seattle Mariners. They play nobody but those. So if they're still on the fringes of the race with those 14 games left and they get hot, they can win. It's not going to be over before September 1st, and it's probably not going to be over before September 15th as much as however many people want to declare it. So it's just, you know, that's not the way the game works. As much fun as it is to yell and scream that they're done and it's finished and
it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of
terrible.
Fun.
But something that's also important to remember, and I pointed it out on multiple occasions, but I pointed it out again in my Sportsnet.com column that's up now. Yes, it's true. These are facts. Facts okay. are true. The Blue Jays in, you remember late April and early May when they went 5-11 and the bullpen was blowing game out.
Before they went nuts, yeah.
They gave up as 8 runs in Minnesota, and Sergio Santos gave up 2 homers in the bottom of the ninth to lose the game. They looked terrible, and they lost 11 of 16, and there was no sign at all that they were going to come out of it. Everything was going poorly. They won the next 5 games, then lost 3, then they went 20-4. Then they had a 2-8 road trip into the All-Star break that was part of a 4-12 run overall. They could not have looked more dead. And after the 4-12, they went 11-2. Now they're in a 3-9 funk, and they look horrible. And they're not hitting, and they're not doing anything right, except, of course, you know, 15 2/3 shutout innings in the bullpen on Sunday.
And Dickey wasn't bad last night.
Right, and Dickey wasn't bad in the start before that they lost. And so everyone's falling all over themselves to be the first one to declare the season over. But they've had runs like this before, and they've come out of it with incredible streaks. Do we really think Baltimore's not going to lose 2 games in a row from the middle of June to the end of the season? Do we think Seattle, Detroit, and Kansas City are all going to play 600 ball from this point to the rest of the year? Of course not. Teams go up and down, but not to the level the Blue Jays have gone up and down, but that just means that their ups have been that much more impressive, and they've come out of nowhere. I really don't get why so many people are in a rush to write the season off.
Might I be, as the arbitrator of this conversation, or at least the attempted arbitrator and or translator, be able to say this in conclusion to both of your arguments? Michael, you believe that there is a possibility that the Jays that we saw in May could make a reappearance before the end of the season. And Sydney, you believe that the Jays that we saw in May will never, ever come back.
The Jays we saw in May have rarely happened in the history of the game.
Well, how about the
Jays we
saw the last 2 weeks of July?
Mike, that was historical stuff we saw that month. Let's not get it twisted here. Let's level it out.
Okay, so let me add a fraction. Oh, no, but hold on, Michael, hold on. A fraction of what we saw of the Blue Jays in May.
No.
Well, Sid's right in that 20-4s don't happen.
Right.
And they don't happen often, and I can't imagine it would ever happen twice.
I misrepresented that. What I wanted to say for you, Michael, was that a fraction of that was available to them. Like, that was a mirage. That's what Sydney's saying.
It wasn't a mirage. Hold on.
Let me ask you this. Right. Is that what you're saying, Sydney? That's a mirage, and we won't see half of that for the rest of this season. Michael is saying that we may see half of that.
Yeah.
And well, you're saying we won't.
12-2? 10-2? We just did.
I'm saying we're not going to see it again.
They just went 11-2.
But Mike, here's where you and I are different, and I genuinely like you as a human being.
As do I,
if I could hug you personally,
I wish you had said "as do I" like me. But yeah, whatever.
That's the line. That would have been amazing. The conversation could have ended if that was the line from Mike, because that's amazing. You are looking at math, and I appreciate that.
I'm not looking at
No,
math.
You are. It's three games with 40 games left. I get it. Baseball's about runs. It's not too different from an in-game basketball. It's about runs.
But you're ignoring the whole 4-11, 4-12, 5-11, 3-9 thing, too. That's not math.
Well, that's runs. I'm saying runs.
Looked at their absolute worst.
All I'm telling you is,
do it again?
Listen, all I'm saying is, there are a lot of people also who can watch a team play, and I'm no expert. I didn't play at the major league level, not like Kev Barker, some of the guys around here. But you could tell the Leafs were probably not making the playoffs 2.5 weeks before they were really out of the top eight. And what I'm saying is, when you watch a team play on the field, you can figure some stuff out. And that's where you and I differ. The math is what it is.
When they went 2-8 on that West Coast road trip?
Yes.
And then they went 11-2 out of it.
Because Juan Francisco can't swing at everything and they make the playoffs. That's what I see.
But again, Sid, if you thought the same way when they went on that 2-8 road trip, and you did, and a lot of people did, you can't ignore the fact that out of that 2-8 road trip, they lost that game against Yu Darvish, first game out of the All-Star break, and then they won 11 of their next 13 games. And that's a fact that you really seem to be conveniently ignoring.
No, I'll completely acknowledge it because it happened. This ain't July, though. Like, we're now in the middle of August.
So what?
Well, you either work out a kink or go book a vacation. Like, it's time to look like a team that can do something here. And they haven't done it in 11 months since this push, Mike, with salary and payroll and all of it. It's out of 11 months, they've looked amazing for a month. 1 month. What are we talking about?
Final 30 seconds, Mike Wilner.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I have nothing to say to that. I mean, they are still where they are. They're not riding that 1 month. They were above 500 in July. They had a great run that just ended 2 weeks ago. They just won games started by David Price and Max Scherzer, and they go to Seattle and they crap themselves. And they've had 12 games where they haven't been doing well. But again, they've had these runs before. They've come out of it, and it doesn't matter that now it's August and then it was July. They still have the capability of coming out of it. They've added their two of their three best hitters back to the lineup now. This is a team that no longer has to bat Juan Francisco fourth. He can hit eighth, and he cannot come up in crucial situations as much. And that's, you know, these things are significant. And if you want to, I guess, make yourself feel better, not just you specifically, Sidney, but the easiest thing to do is to say, it's over, I hope I'm wrong. Because that way, if they don't make the playoffs, you're right, and you get to feel good about yourself. And if they do make the playoffs, then you get to feel great because they actually do it. You're protecting yourself from emotional scarring, which I completely understand.
Emotional
scarring. I've been a sports fan in Toronto for the last 20 years.
Emotional scarring. I like that phrase.
The scars run deep when you watch the Maple Leafs.
Thank you, Michael. Your time has elapsed. Sidney, your time has elapsed.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for being a fine arbiter, Timothy.
If I can attempt to come up with a conclusion for both of you, if there is one thing that this team has proven to us this year, is that they are either resilient or streaky. They will need.
Joaquin Andujar said it best, Timothy. You remember Joaquin?
Your time's up, Wilner.
Allow the 30 sorry. Seconds. I'll give Mike my 30 seconds.
Listen,
ahead,
when
Mike.
You start quoting Joaquin Andujar, I'll shut up. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mike.
Joaquin Andujar said that there is one word that will tell you everything you need to know about baseball. Do either of you boys know what that one word is?
From Joaquin Andujar?
From Joaquin Andujar?
I have an idea.
I got it. Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Boner.
That one word, according to Joaquin Andujar, is you never know.
That's horns right there. That's pretty good. I like that. I like where he's going with that.
They're three back in the wild card. There's only one team in between them. In the grand scheme of things, this is not damning. The question we have with Edwin Encarnacion returning to the lineup and some expected rust, as we've seen with Adam Lind, is this team trending upward or downward? That is the question that faces all who watch the Toronto Blue Jays.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, boys.
What do you do? What do you? What are you doing? What are you doing tonight? Like, there's no game. Like, what does Mike do tonight?
I got old man baseball tonight.
Oh, old man baseball.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Just don't swing it. Don't swing it
overhand or underhand.
It's what they call modified fast pitch. It's underhand, no windmill, but not slow pitch.
Damn analytics.
Is that?
Yeah, you should see our guy's X-Fit. It's awesome.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, boys.